Good morning, and welcome to Claude Daily, the show where we dig into everything happening with Claude and Anthropic every weekday. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Happy to be here. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026.
June 16th. We are somehow, inexplicably, almost at the halfway point of the year.
No, we're not doing that. We talked about this. First thing in the morning, you can't just drop halfway through the year on people.
It's factually accurate.
It's demoralizing is what it is.
Huh? Fair enough. Okay, let's give people something better to think about because we've got a genuinely meaty show today. We're spending the full episode on Claude Code. That's Anthropic's AI coding tool. And specifically on 2 weeks of updates that I think are actually pretty consequential. Not we changed a button consequential. More like this is where enterprise AI-assisted development is heading consequential.
Yeah, and I want to frame this up front. When most people hear Claude Code update, they probably picture, I don't know, autocomplete getting a little better or a new keyboard shortcut. And some of it is quality of life stuff, which we'll get to. But the bigger picture here is that Claude Code is evolving into a platform, something you'd architect a serious software development workflow around. And the updates from the last 2 weeks are very much in that direction.
We've got two main clusters. The first is from the week of June 1st through 5th. That's week 23 in Anthropic's own release cadence, and it's centered on a big expansion of something called Auto Mode to third-party cloud platforms. And the second is from June 8th through 12th, week 24, which brings in a set of changes touching directory navigation, how multi-agent workflows operate, and a safety flag that I think is going to be underappreciated when people are scanning the changelog.
I have been thinking about the multi-agent stuff since last night. I have a lot of thoughts.
I know, your messages started coming in around 10 p.m.
The nested subagent thing is genuinely fascinating, I can't help it.
We'll get there. Let's start from the top. So week 23. The headline is that Claude Code's auto mode is now available on third-party cloud providers, and specifically for two of Claude's newer Opus model versions, Opus 4.7 and Opus 4.8. The platforms involved are Amazon Bedrock, Google Vertex AI, and Microsoft Foundry, which is Azure's offering.
Okay. So for people who don't spend their days inside cloud infrastructure, those three platforms are basically the enterprise AI nerve centers of the big three cloud providers. Bedrock is AWS, Vertex is Google Cloud, Foundry is Microsoft Azure. And together, they cover the vast majority of large enterprise cloud deployments.
Right. So any company that's already running their infrastructure on one of those platforms can now run Claude Code's auto mode through the same environment, which is a big deal for enterprise customers, and we'll get into why in a second. But first, let me explain what auto mode actually is, because I think that context matters.
Yeah, let's lay it out.
So when Claude Code operates on your codebase, it needs to do things. Write to files, run commands, read configuration, interact with your development environment. And in the non-auto mode, every time it wants to do something that might be sensitive, it stops. It pops up a permission prompt. I'd like to write to this file, is that okay? I'm going to run this command, should I proceed? And you, the developer, have to say yes or no.
Which, in theory, sounds like a sensible safety mechanism. Human in the loop for every significant action.
In theory. But here's the problem. In practice, when you're in flow, you're in the middle of a complex refactoring session, things are moving, you're building momentum, those permission prompts become noise. You start hitting accept without reading them. Every developer who's used any kind of permission-based system has experienced this.
Oh, absolutely. There's a name for it, actually. Automation bias. The phenomenon where people in a workflow start rubber-stamping approvals because the cognitive overhead of evaluating every single one is too high. And it's been documented pretty extensively in human-computer interaction research.
And the uncomfortable truth is that if you're rubber-stamping permissions, you're not actually getting safety from those prompts. You're getting the feeling of safety, the appearance of it, but the substance is gone.
So Anthropic's position is, move the safety to where it's actually effective.
Exactly. In auto mode, instead of stopping to ask you, Claude Code runs background safety checks. The evaluation of whether an action is appropriate happens silently, in the background, without breaking your flow. And if the check passes, the action proceeds.
Now, okay, I have to push on this because I think a lot of listeners will have the same instinct. Doesn't that mean you're just trusting the model to make these judgment calls? Like, the human check is gone? You're relying on Claude to know what's risky and what's not.
You are, yeah. And that's a real shift. But it's worth asking. If the human check was being rubber-stamped anyway and the background check is actually doing meaningful evaluation, which one is providing more real safety?
Right. A check that's actually executed is better than a check that exists on paper but gets skipped in practice.
And Anthropic hasn't removed friction everywhere. This is the part that I think is actually the most interesting design decision in the whole Week 23 release. They've kept explicit prompts. They're calling them protective prompts, but only for specific categories of sensitive operations. Specifically, shell configuration files and Git configuration files.
Wait, let's slow down on that, because I think the choice of those two specific categories is really revealing.
Yeah, tell me what you're thinking.
So shell configs, I'm talking about files like your.bashrc or des.shrc, your shell profile, things that configure how your terminal environment works. If something goes wrong with those, the effects are broad and they can be really hard to diagnose. Your path gets corrupted, your environment variables get overwritten, aliases change, and the symptoms might not show up immediately. You might be 3 days later wondering why some completely unrelated tool stopped working. And the root cause is a change to your shell config.
The persistence is the scary part. It's not like a code bug where you run the thing and it crashes and you have a stack trace. Shell config issues can lurk. They can be intermittent. They can cause problems in totally unexpected places.
And Git configs. Oh, the Git config failure modes are genuinely alarming to think about. If your Git configuration gets modified, remote URLs, credential settings, signing keys, you could accidentally push code to the wrong repository. You could expose credentials. You could silently alter how commits are being attributed. There are actual attack vectors where adversarial content in a repository, a prompt injection scenario, might try to instruct an AI agent to modify Git config to point a remote somewhere malicious.
The prompt injection angle is real and it's important. It's one of the known threat models for AI coding tools. You put something in a file that the AI reads, and that content tries to hijack the AI's actions. And Git configs are a particularly tempting target because the damage from a compromised Git remote is potentially severe and might not be noticed immediately.
So the design logic here is really principled. Don't interrupt developers for every routine file operation. That creates automation bias and bad habits. But do add a moment of friction specifically for the categories where silent modification could cause lasting, hard-to-detect harm.
Right. It's not friction for everything. And it's not no friction. It's friction exactly where the cost of getting it wrong is high enough that you want a human to consciously sign off.
I actually think that's a more sophisticated safety philosophy than just requiring permission for everything. Because require permission for everything sounds maximally safe, but it creates the rubber stamping problem. Whereas require permission only where it really matters preserves the value of the permission prompt.
Yeah, you want the permission prompt to mean something. And the only way it means something is if it's not appearing constantly for low-stakes operations.
Okay, let's talk about the third-party provider angle more. Because I think the fact that it's Bedrock, Vertex, and Foundry specifically is really telling.
Yeah, these aren't hobbyist platforms. These are enterprise infrastructure. When a large company, a bank, a hospital system, an aerospace manufacturer, decides to run AI at scale, they're almost certainly running it through one of these three. And there are good reasons for that. Data residency, security perimeter control, compliance frameworks, integration with existing approved vendor lists.
The compliance piece especially. If you're running Claude code on Anthropic's direct API and you work for a regulated financial institution, you might have to go through a whole separate vendor approval process, a separate security review. But if Claude code is running through Bedrock and your company already has AWS approved as a cloud vendor, which most large companies do, then the compliance lift is much smaller. It's already inside the perimeter.
And the Opus 4.7 and 4.8 versions specifically, those matter. Opus is Claude's most capable model tier. Anthropic isn't making auto mode available on third-party providers with a cut-down model. They're giving enterprises the top-of-line capability with the operational experience that makes it actually usable at scale.
Which is a strong product statement. You want our best models, you want to run them through your existing cloud infrastructure, and you want them to operate without constant interruption? Here you go.
And the organizational policy enforcement piece ties all of this together. Enterprises deploying Claude code through these platforms can set their own rules. They can define what Claude code is and isn't allowed to do in their environment.
What does that actually look like? Like what kinds of policies?
So think about it in layers. An organization could say, Claude Code can read and write to source files but cannot touch anything in the infrastructure as code directory without a human review. Or it can run unit tests but cannot modify CI configuration. Or it has full autonomy within this feature branch, but any operation that touches the main branch requires explicit approval. You're encoding the organization's risk tolerance and governance model into the system.
That's essentially role-based access control for an AI agent, which is the right mental model, I think. We've been doing role-based access for human users in software systems for decades. It makes sense to apply the same framework to AI agents.
And for regulated industries, it's necessary. A healthcare organization can't just unleash an AI coding tool with no constraints. But with organizational policy enforcement, they can define the envelope within which Claude Code operates, get that envelope approved by their security team, and then deploy with confidence.
The speed at which Anthropic is building out the enterprise readiness story here is actually pretty striking. Like, a year ago, Claude Code was primarily a tool for individual developers, and now you've got third-party provider integration, organizational policies, background safety checks. This is enterprise software.
And the market they're going after is significant. Enterprise software development is a massive market, and the AI coding tool space is extremely competitive. The players who win long-term are probably not going to be the ones with the cleverest autocomplete. They're going to be the ones who can actually work inside enterprise governance frameworks.
Because cleverness doesn't get past procurement, compliance does.
Well said. All right, let's move to week 24 because there's a lot here, and I know you're itching to get to the sub-agent stuff.
I am itching. Let's go.
Week 24, June 8th through 12th. Claude Code shipped versions 2.1.166 through 2.1.176. That's 11 version increments in a single week.
Which, pause on that for a second, 11 versions in a week.
Yeah.
That is a rapid release cadence. Like, that tells you something about the development culture on the Claude Code team. They are not doing big quarterly releases. They're shipping fast, getting feedback, iterating, shipping again.
For a developer tool, I think that's actually the right approach. The people using Claude Code are developers, right? They give detailed, specific feedback. They know exactly what's wrong and how they'd want it fixed. A team that can respond to that quickly is going to build a better product than one sitting on long release cycles.
The counterargument is 11 versions in a week is hard to track if you're an enterprise IT team that wants to validate before deploying.
Which is, again, why the managed cloud platform integrations matter. On Bedrock or Vertex, you can manage your own upgrade schedule rather than tracking the main release channel day by day.
So the rapid iteration on the main channel and the stability at your own pace on the managed channels are complementary. Got it.
Okay, the CD command. Let me set up why this matters.
Yeah, go.
One of the most powerful things about Claude Code is the prompt cache. When you start a session, you tell Claude Code, "I'm working in this directory." It reads the files, builds up an understanding of the code base, learns the structure, understands what you're working on. That process involves reading a lot of content, and it's not free. It takes time and compute. But once it's done, it's cached. Subsequent messages in the same session are much faster and cheaper because Claude isn't rebuilding that context from scratch every time.
Right, the cache is what makes Claude Code feel responsive once you're past the initial setup.
Now here's the problem. The cache is tied to your working directory. If you want to navigate to a different part of your code base, a different directory, a different package in a monorepo, previously you'd have to start a new session. Fresh start. Rebuild the cache. And you'd lose all the conversational context you'd built up in the previous session.
Ugh, yeah. I've hit this exact thing. You're in the middle of a complex session, you've been going back and forth with Claude about the architecture. Claude understands what you're trying to do and why. You've had this whole dialogue about constraints and trade-offs. And then you need to look at something in a different part of the repo, and you're stuck. Either you stay in the current directory and manually give Claude context about the other part, or you nuke the session and start over.
Neither of which is good. And in a monorepo, which is a development pattern where multiple projects live under one repository, increasingly common at mid to large companies, this comes up constantly. Front end, back end, shared libraries, infrastructure code, tooling, you're jumping around between these all day.
So what does CD actually do?
The CD command, /CD, like the classic terminal change directory, lets you migrate your active session to a new working directory without destroying the cache or losing your conversational context. You type /CD followed by the path you want, and the session relocates. Claude's understanding of what you've been working on, the dialogue you've had, the decisions you've made together, all of that carries over.
And what happens to the cache specifically? Like, the cache was built on the old directory. Does it get updated?
The way I understand it, the conversational context, the back and forth dialogue, stays intact. The file level context does get updated for the new directory because Claude needs to know what's in the new location. So it's not a completely zero cost operation, but it's dramatically cheaper and faster than starting a fresh session. You're not rebuilding from nothing, you're updating.
That distinction matters a lot. If you're working on a complex task, like implementing a new feature that spans both the API layer and the front end, you want Claude to remember the decisions you made about the API design when you switch over to the front end. That context is exactly what makes the collaboration valuable.
Right, and CD makes that continuous. You're not resetting the collaboration every time you cross a directory boundary. Claude is a persistent collaborator for the whole session, wherever that session takes you.
It's a small change that has a big effect on how you can actually use the tool. Like before CD, the mental model was one session per directory. After CD, the mental model is one session per task, regardless of what directories that task touches.
And for complex software engineering, which almost always spans multiple directories, that second mental model is much more aligned with how developers actually think about their work.
All right, sub-agents, I've been holding myself back.
Go for it.
So let me explain the baseline first. Claude Code has had the ability to spawn sub-agents for some time now. The concept is that when Claude Code is given a complex task, it doesn't have to handle everything sequentially in a single context. It can delegate. It creates a sub-agent, essentially a separate Claude instance, to handle a specific bounded piece of the work. The main agent manages the overall task, and it assigns subtasks to sub-agents.
It's like the difference between one person doing everything themselves and a small team where someone is directing the work and others are executing.
Exactly. And the new thing in week 24 is that sub-agents can now spawn their own sub-agents. Nested delegation. A tree structure rather than a flat list.
And the depth limits. Tell me why those matter.
Okay, so depth limits are the guardrail that keeps this from going sideways. Because here's the obvious failure mode. You have an agent, it spawns sub-agents. Each sub-agent decides it needs more help and spawns more sub-agents. Those spawn more exponential growth. Suddenly, one top-level request has spawned hundreds of concurrent agent instances. You've burned through a massive amount of compute, and the system is doing something nobody intended.
Classic runaway recursion.
It is literally the AI equivalent of infinite recursion. And the solution is the same one that programming languages use. You set a maximum depth. You cannot go more than N levels deep. Period. It doesn't matter what the agent thinks it needs.
Simple, robust, doesn't require you to prove termination.
Right. You don't have to solve the general problem of, will this agent tree eventually stop? Which is essentially the halting problem. You just say, we're not going past 5 levels or whatever the limit is. Done.
Now let me ask you the thing I keep coming back to. When you have a tree of agents doing work, how do you know what's happening? How does a developer understand what each level of the tree is doing?
Yeah. That's the hard question. And I'll be honest, I don't think the tooling for that fully exists yet. Like, the capability is being built, but the observability layer, the ability to see the agent tree in a way that makes sense to a human, to trace what decisions were made at what level and why, to debug when something goes wrong 3 levels deep, I think that's still maturing.
And I think that's actually one of the more interesting gaps in the ecosystem right now. Because you can imagine a world where Claude Code has rich agent tree visualization, where you can see a graph of what's running, click into any node, see what that sub-agent is working on, pause it, redirect it. That tooling doesn't exist in a mature form yet.
But it will. It has to. Because the more enterprise customers deploy nested sub-agents for complex workflows, the more they're going to demand that visibility. You can't run a production software development workflow on a black box.
And there's a real opportunity for the ecosystem that's building around Claude Code to provide those tools. Logging layers, visualization dashboards, debugging workflows for multi-agent setups.
Let me give a concrete example of why nested sub-agents matter, because I think it helps make the capability real. Imagine you're a company doing a large-scale migration. You're moving from a legacy framework to a modern one. You've got, let's say, 200 source files that need to be updated. the main agent understands the overall goal and the migration strategy. It spawns sub-agents, one per module, let's say, 10 modules. Each module sub-agent understands the files in its module and what needs to change. And for complex files, a module sub-agent might spawn its own sub-agents to handle specific tricky pieces.
All of this happening in a coordinated way, with context flowing between levels.
And the alternative, doing it sequentially, might take hours. With nested sub-agents working in parallel, you could potentially tackle that in a fraction of the time. That's a genuinely different capability. That's not AI autocomplete. That's AI-directed software engineering at scale.
Which raises interesting questions about human oversight in that scenario. If you've got a tree of agents making decisions and modifying files across 200 source files, where is the human in that loop?
That's where organizational policy comes back in, right? You define the envelope. You might say, sub-agents can propose changes and stage them, but nothing gets committed to the repository without a human review step. Or, the top-level agent always pauses and reports before sub-agents execute writes. You can structure the human checkpoints at the level where they actually add value rather than trying to review every individual file operation.
And that connects back to the whole philosophy we were discussing earlier about permission prompts. Don't ask for human approval on every operation. Ask for it at the points where human judgment actually matters. The high-level decisions, the actions with lasting consequences.
There's a version of AI-assisted software development that's being built here where the human role shifts from executing to directing. You're not manually reviewing every line change. You're setting strategy, defining constraints, reviewing the output of larger chunks of work. That's a meaningfully different role.
And it requires trust in the system. Trust in the model's judgment. Trust in the safety architecture. Trust in the ability to audit what happened. That trust is what Anthropic is trying to build with all of these updates.
Okay, safe mode, talk to me.
So, safe mode is a command line flag you can pass when starting Claude Code, and it isolates the configuration environment. Concretely, what it does is, it ignores any local configuration files you've set up for Claude Code, any environment variables you've configured, any customizations to your installation. It runs in a baseline state, as if you just freshly installed it with no customizations.
Diagnostic tool. Something is behaving weirdly. You don't know if it's a bug in Claude Code or something in your config.
Exactly. You run with safe mode. If the weird behavior is gone, the problem is in your config. If it's still there, it's in Claude Code itself. You've just cut your debugging space in half with one flag.
And I've been in enough debugging sessions where the culprit turned out to be some configuration I set 6 months ago and half forgot about. That kind of isolating flag is invaluable. It's the difference between hours of confused debugging and a quick sanity check.
For teams, there's another use case that I think is equally important. Reproducibility. If you're using Claude Code as part of a shared workflow, automated pipelines, team-wide scripts, something that multiple developers run, you want that workflow to behave the same way for everyone. Local configuration drift is real. Two developers might have different things in their Claude Code config, and without safe mode, you can get inconsistent behavior for the same input.
Oh, this is a big one for CI and CD pipelines. Continuous integration and continuous deployment. If Claude Code is part of your automated build or test workflow, the last thing you want is behavior that varies based on which machine it's running on and what customizations that machine has.
Safe mode is essentially a known good baseline flag. For this run, we're all operating from the same clean state. It's reproducibility as a feature.
And the fact that this flag exists tells you something about how Claude Code is being used. You don't add a configuration isolation flag because one developer was annoyed. You add it because enough teams are running Claude Code in complex, shared, automated contexts where configuration consistency has become a real operational problem.
Right. The feature reflects the problem, and the problem is an enterprise-scale problem.
Let me ask you something. Looking at all of these features together, the third-party provider expansion, organizational policies, background safety checks, protective prompts, /CD, nested sub-agents, safe mode, do you see a coherent philosophy in there?
Yeah, I do, and I think it's this. Anthropic is trying to make Claude Code more capable and more autonomous at the same time as making it more trustworthy and more governable. And those things are usually in tension, but the design choices here are trying to thread that needle.
Say more.
So more capable means Subagents can now spawn subagents. You can navigate directories without losing session context. Workflows can be more sophisticated. That's expanding what Claude Code can do. But more autonomous, removing permission prompts, could increase risk if you're just removing guardrails. What Anthropic is doing instead is moving the safety to places where it's actually effective. Background checks that work even when humans aren't paying attention. Protective prompts only for the operations where human oversight genuinely matters. Organizational policies that define the envelope of allowed behavior.
So you're not trading capability for safety or safety for capability. You're trying to get more of both by being smarter about where each mechanism lives.
Exactly. And I think that philosophy is going to be important as Claude Code continues to expand. Because the more capable and autonomous these systems become, the more the naive just ask permission for everything approach breaks down. You need a safety architecture that scales.
The nested subagent depth limits are a perfect example of this. It would be simpler to just not allow nested subagents from a safety standpoint. But you'd be giving up a lot of capability. The depth limit is a smarter solution. You get the capability, you control the risk.
And you can tune it. The depth limit is a parameter, presumably. Organizations with higher risk tolerance and more complex workflows can set it higher. More conservative organizations can set it lower.
That configurability is key, because the right depth limit for a startup doing rapid prototyping is probably very different from the right depth limit for a defense contractor.
The other thing I keep coming back to is the observability question. Because all of these capabilities, the nested agents especially, generate complexity that someone has to understand. If Claude Code is running agent trees and modifying files across a large code base, you need to be able to answer, what did it do? Why did it do it? What information was it acting on? Audit trails? Explainability.
And I think that's genuinely the next frontier for Claude Code. The capability features are being built. The safety architecture is being built. The governance tools, organizational policies are being built. But the observability and auditability layer for complex multi-agent workflows, that's where there's still a lot of work to do.
And it's work that matters for enterprise adoption. Regulated industries especially. If a financial services firm is using Claude Code agents to modify production code, they need to be able to produce an audit trail that says what happened, when, why, and who authorized it at each step.
The who authorized it question is interesting because with automated agent workflows, the authorization might be implicit. You authorized it when you started the workflow, rather than explicit at each step. And some auditors are going to want more granularity than that.
Yeah. I think the governance and compliance tooling around Claude Code is going to be a whole category of work in the months ahead. The core tool is maturing fast. The enterprise scaffolding around it is catching up.
Okay, let's talk about the pace of development for a second. 11 version bumps in a week. What's that like to live with as a developer who relies on Claude Code?
Huh. I mean, for individual developers, it's generally fine. Keep it updated. Most updates are improvements or bug fixes. The version bumps aren't usually breaking changes.
But for teams with more formal processes, where you have to test before deploying, this cadence is genuinely challenging. Like, if you're an enterprise running Claude Code through a managed environment and your policy is, we validate new versions before they hit our fleet, 11 version bumps in a week is a lot to validate.
Which is another reason the managed cloud platform approach, Bedrock, Vertex, Foundry, is valuable. You can pin to a specific version, validate it on your own schedule, and upgrade when you're ready. You don't have to track the main channel week to week.
There's also a flip side to the fast release cadence that I want to give Anthropic credit for. When they ship something that needs a fix, the fix comes fast. Like, if you're using a tool and you hit a bug, knowing that the team is shipping fixes in real time is actually really reassuring. Versus sitting on a bug for 3 months until the next quarterly release.
Yeah, the responsiveness of the development cycle is a feature in itself. Especially for a developer tool where the feedback loop between users and developers is tight.
The Claude Code team is presumably also using Claude Code, which creates a nice virtuous cycle.
Dogs eating their own food, or in this case, developers using their own tool to build the tool. Yeah. Okay, let's take stock of where we are and what all of this means in the bigger picture.
Yeah, zoom out.
So we've got 2 weeks of updates that together span. Enterprise cloud platform integration, organizational governance, safety architecture redesign, directory session management, multi-agent orchestration, configuration isolation, That's a lot of surface area to cover in 2 weeks. And if you look at all of it together, the narrative is pretty clear. Claude Code is graduating from a clever tool for individual developers into a platform you could build an enterprise software development practice on.
And I think what's interesting is the order in which Anthropic is building this out. They're not building the governance tools after the capability is already deployed at scale. They're building them in parallel. The organizational policies and the nested sub-agents are shipping in the same general time window.
Which suggests some foresight about what enterprise customers actually need. You can't go to a large company and say, here's an incredibly capable autonomous coding tool. We'll have the governance features ready next quarter.
No. The governance features have to be there from the start, or at least visible on the roadmap in a credible way. Because the risk conversation in a large organization happens at the beginning of adoption, not after.
And I think Anthropic understands that. The whole tenor of these updates is, we're thinking about how this gets used at scale, not just in a developer's personal workflow.
The competition question is also worth touching on. Because Claude Code is not the only AI coding tool. GitHub Copilot has been around longer. Cursor has a big following. There are others, and the race is on.
And I think where Claude Code is trying to differentiate is exactly on the axes we've been talking about. Enterprise governance, safety architecture, third-party cloud integration, those are the things that win large enterprise contracts. It's harder to compete on that dimension than on our autocomplete is a little better, but the market is bigger and more durable.
The individual developer market moves fast and is fickle. The enterprise market moves slow, but when it moves in large and lasting ways.
And enterprise contracts are where the revenue that funds long-term AI research comes from. So getting the enterprise story right matters beyond just the coding tool itself.
It's all connected. The enterprise revenue funds, the research that improves the models that make the tool more capable that wins more enterprise contracts. The flywheel.
All right, I want to do a highlights run for people who are catching the show on the go and want to make sure they've got the key takeaways.
Do it.
Week 23, June 1st through 5th. Claude Code's Auto Mode is now available on third-party enterprise cloud platforms, Amazon Bedrock, Google Vertex AI, and Microsoft Foundry, for Opus 4.7 and Opus 4.8. The model now handles safety evaluation as a background process rather than blocking you with permission prompts at every step. That said, protective prompts are still triggered before Claude touches shell configuration files or Git configuration files, where silent modification could have lasting and hard-to-detect consequences. And organizations deploying through these platforms can set their own app-level policies that define the envelope of what Claude Code is and isn't allowed to do.
Enterprise unlock, safety philosophy redesign, governance tools. That's the Week 23 story.
Week 24, June 8th through 12th, versions 2.1.166 through 2.1.176. Three main features. First, the CD command lets you change your working directory mid-session without losing your conversational context or rebuilding the prompt cache from scratch. Second, subagents can now spawn their own nested subagents with depth limits to prevent runaway agent trees. Third, the safe mode flag lets you run Claude Code with configuration isolation, ignoring local customizations, which is valuable for debugging and for reproducibility in shared or automated workflows. Plus a broad sweep of quality of life improvements across the board.
The nested subagents is the one I keep coming back to. That's a meaningful architectural expansion for complex workflows.
It really is. And the CD command is going to make daily life better for a lot of developers who work in large repositories. The safe mode flag is the one I think is most underrated. It solves a real practical problem, and it signals that Claude Code is being used in contexts complex enough that configuration consistency matters.
Taken together, it's 2 weeks that paint a picture of a tool that is growing up fast.
Fast is right. And we should note, there's been a lot of broader coverage of this in the tech press this week. 60-plus news items touching Claude and Anthropic from across the industry. The AI coding tool space is getting a lot of attention right now, and rightly so.
The competitive landscape is moving fast. There's a lot of money flowing into the space, a lot of startups, a lot of moves by the bigger players. Anthropic is very much in the middle of all of that.
And what we're seeing with Claude Code's enterprise push is Anthropic staking out a position in that competition that's not just about raw model capability. It's about the full package, the safety architecture, the governance tools, the cloud integrations. That's a harder position to replicate than just, we have a smarter model.
And it's a more durable position long term. because enterprise customers don't switch tools every time something slightly more capable comes along. They switch when the combination of capability, reliability, and governance is clearly better. And building that combination takes time and consistency.
The track record Anthropic is building with these kinds of thoughtful, well-reasoned architectural choices is part of what earns that enterprise trust. Even the way they communicate about safety, being specific about what the background checks are doing, what the protective prompts are for, that transparency matters to the kinds of buyers who actually read documentation.
Which is a lot of enterprise IT and security teams. They read the documentation, they ask the hard questions, and they notice when the answers are thoughtful versus when they're just marketing.
Yep. All right. I think we've given this the time it deserves. What a show.
Good show. Genuinely good show.
Before we go, as always, if you're using Claude Code in your work, we want to hear from you. Especially if you've been testing Auto Mode on Bedrock or Vertex or Foundry, or if you've started experimenting with the multi-agent workflows. The feature announcements tell you what's possible in theory. Real-world experiences from real code bases are what make the picture complete.
Yes. And specifically on the nested sub-agent stuff, if anyone out there is running complex agent workflows and has observations about how it behaves, what works, what doesn't, where you've hit edges, I have so many questions. Please find me. Reach out wherever you're listening to this.
Sam is officially soliciting field reports on agent recursion behavior. This is what the show has become.
I stand by it. This stuff is genuinely fascinating, and I want to know how it plays out in production.
And that's what I love about covering this space. It's not just announcements and press releases. The actual behavior of these systems in the wild is where the interesting stories are. And we're going to keep tracking those stories as Claude Code keeps moving.
The velocity of development right now is remarkable. Like, we're sitting here talking about 2 weeks of updates and there's enough material for a full episode. That pace is not slowing down.
No, it's not. And the questions it's raising about multi-agent observability, about enterprise governance, about what human oversight looks like when AI systems are operating at this level of autonomy, those questions are going to be with us for a while. And we're going to keep working through them here.
Looking forward to it.
All right, folks. That is Claude Daily for June 16th, 2026. Thank you so much for spending part of your morning with us. I'm Alex.
I'm Sam. We'll see you tomorrow. There's more where this came from, trust me.
Take care, everyone.